Shavua Tov Mevarach, a good week. We are continuing in chapter 11 of Yevamot, Mishnah Hey. Kohenit Shinit Arev Vlodo Vlod Shifchata. Another case of a mix-up. Mrs. Cohen had a newborn baby, and it was mixed up with the newborn baby of her Shivha Kinanit, the servant who is, again, quasi-Jewish. Hare Elu, so both of these boys, Ochlin B'Truma, they can both eat Truma. The one who's really the Kohen Jr., because he's actually a Kohen, and the other one because he's living in the household and serving in the household of the Kohanim. The Hokin Helek Echad Begurin, and they divide one portion at the threshing floor. What typically happens is a Kohen goes to the threshing floor to get his portion of Truma. Now, one of these two boys is a Kohen and is entitled to Truma. We don't know which one. So they need to go together at the same time, and they'll be given one portion of Truma for both of them, and they'll split it, because we don't know which one's the real Kohen. They cannot become Tame, ritually impure, through touching a dead body or going to a cemetery. Because after all, one of them is a Kohen, and it's forbidden to do so. They cannot get married, Bein Kesherot, Bein Pesulot. Whether to normal, quote-unquote, kosher, mainstream Jewish girls, or pesulot. Pesulot in this context is a Jewish girl who's allowed to marry an eved, or a freed eved, but not allowed to marry a kohen. So, for example, a female convert, or one who was a shivcha, and then became fully Jewish, was freed, and now is fully Jewish, a kohen cannot marry those type of women. So since the Evid, the son of the Shifcha, can't marry a regular kosher mainstream Jewish girl, and the Kohen can't marry one of these other types of women, so neither of them can get married. But Higdilu, once they grow up, Hatarovot, the mixture, these two boys, Shichru Zeitzei, they should both free one another. We don't know who's really the servant and who's really the Kohen, so they should both write a document of emancipation. They should both make an emancipation proclamation, and now they're both free. So now the Kohen is a Kohen, and the former Evid is now a regular Jewish guy. So now, Nosi Nashim Rule Kehuna. They can both marry as long as that girl would be fit to marry a Kohen. So not a convert and the like. Eina Matam the Meitim. And they still can't go to a funeral, go to a cemetery, because we don't know which one's the Kohen. Vim Nitmu, if they did become ritually impure, Ein Sof Kinat Arbaim. We don't give out lashes as if someone was a Kohen and he on purpose became Tameh, then the court would give him lashes for infringing this biblical commandment not to become ritually impure. Ve'einan ochlin b'truma. And now they can no longer eat truma. We don't know which one's the Kohen. And the other one used to be an Evid, a servant, who was entitled to eat truma because he was working for the Kohanic household. But now he's freed. He's working for himself now. Imachlu, but if they did eat truma, einan mishalmin keren v'chomesh. They don't have to pay the principal, the amount of truma, and the chomesh, the 1/5 payment as a penalty on top, as we discussed in Masechet Trumot. Because both of these boys, who are now grown up, can claim, well, I might be the Kohen. You need to prove that I'm not a Kohen before you can force me to pay for the Truma. Einan choklim el agurin. They don't go to the threshing floor to get a portion of Truma. Umochin et the Truma. But if they have their own Truma, they're allowed to sell it to a Kohen, because Kohanim eat Truma. But domim shalahem, and they're allowed to keep the money. Because again, they can say, you'd have to prove that I'm not a Kohen to take this money away from me, and there's, a 50-50 chance. Ve'einan cholukin b'kodshei mikdash, they do not get a portion of the share of sacrificial offerings in the temple. Einotnin lahem kodshim, we don't give them parts of kodshim, such as the hides of an ola offering that were given to the Kohanim who were serving, who were on duty in the Beit HaMikdash. En motziin shelahem mi'adam, but we can't take the hides away from them. If they go and bring a korban, normally the hide would go to the Kohanim on duty, but a guy who's a Kohen can keep his own hide. We don't take it away from him because they might be a Kohen. Peturin min azroa min alahayim min akeva. And they are patur, they are not obligated to give the zroa, the foreleg, or the lahayim, the jawbone, or the keva, one of the stomachs. These are matzot kahuna. These were given to a Kohen when someone slaughtered a regular animal. You'd find the Kohen on your street and give it to Mr. Kohen. Or you invite him to the barbecue and you give him those parts of the barbecue. Ubichoro, and his own firstborn animal. Now, normally, a Yisrael has to give the firstborn animal to a Kohen, but his Bechor, since he might be a Kohen, Yehei Roe Ochistav, it should go out and graze in the field until it's Mistav, until it gets a mum, a blemish, which makes it basically edible. Normally, a Bechor animal that does not have a blemish must go to the temple and become a special offering, and the Kohen bringing it eats of the meat. But if it gets a mum, if it gets a blemish, it could be even eaten in the backyard of the Kohen. He can make his own barbecue. And here again, since both of these men can claim, you can't prove I'm not the Kohen, if the animal has a blemish, they are allowed to eat it in their backyard. We give to them the stringencies of both Kohanim, the priests, and Yisraelim, regular Jews. Now, the Gemara explains this means if they bring a carbon mincha, we are stringent, because normally a carbon mincha of Yisrael, the kometz, one scoop of it, goes up on the Mizbeach, and the rest of it is eaten. But by a Kohen, the entire thing goes up and is burned on the Mizbeach, the mincha of a Kohen. So here we don't know if he's a Kohen or not, so we have to burn the Shirayim, they have to scoop out the kometz and burn that, and then they have to burn the Shirayim separately on the Beit HaDeshen. Now, it's an interesting note. I've heard they did some genetic testing in Eretz Yisrael, and they found out that a whole lot of the people who claimed to be Kohanim had the same gene. A Y-linked chromosome was identical in the vast, vast, overwhelming majority of them, which, you know, it seems to be genetic evidence that the Kohanim were pretty accurate in remaining Kohanim. Let's go on to Mishnah Vav. Mi shelo shahata ahar bala shlosha. A woman who did not wait the rabbinically required 3 months after the end of her first marriage, and she went ahead and got married. Now recall, those 3 months or so we can tell if she's pregnant already from the prior marriage. The yolda, and then she gave birth. The ein yadua, we don't know. Im ben tisha l'rishon, if it's a 9-month baby from the first husband. Im ben shiva l'achron, or maybe it's a 7-month baby to the achron, the second husband. There was a metzias back then that some babies would come out and they would look full term, even though they were really only in there for 7 months. We don't really have this anymore. Hayula boni min rishon and boni min sheni. Now, what if this woman had other sons, both from the first husband and from the latter husband, the one she rushed into the marriage with? You know, love is blind. So what do they do in the event that this middle child, this sort of suffolk, we don't know who the father is, what if he passes away without children? Holtzin v'lo miyamin. They have to do chalitza, not yibum. Now, all of these brothers share the same mother, but there are two different fathers. There was the original husband and then the latter husband, and they're not sure who this deceased brother was actually paternally related to, and yibum goes through a shared father only. So since they don't know who shares the father, then the surviving brothers from both sides would do yibum. I mean, not yibum, definitely not. Only chalitza, not the yibum. V'chen hu, and also this middle child, this child where we're not sure who the father is, we know the mother, holetz v'lo miyabim. If one of the brothers passes away from either one of the husbands, he has to do chalitza, not yibum. Now the Mishnah adds, Hayu lo achim, if he has other brothers, we'll see it's one other brother, min harishon, the achim min hasheni, one brother from the first original husband, and one brother from the second husband, shelo me'otaem, but they don't share a mother with this middle child, this indeterminate child, hu choletz umiyabem. He may do either chalitza or yibam. When there is dafko, one other brother, not from the same mother, from each of the potential fathers. Now, the reason here is either he's really the paternal brother to the deceased, and yibum is an option, or if he's not, then that deceased brother has no paternal brother, and when there's no surviving brother, there's, of course, no yibum or chalitza, there's no zika, and that woman is free to marry anyone. So she could go ahead and marry this middle child. Either it's yibum or it's just a marriage, which is mutter. The hem and the other brothers that share a father but not a mother, echad choletz, echad miyabim. So the brothers, the surviving brother from one father can go ahead and do chalitza, and the next one can do yibum. Because again, that chalitza will take care of it if that's really the paternal brother, and then the widow is released to marry anyone. And if not, then the second family is producing the real paternal brother, and yibum is an option. Yashar kochachem, shavuot tov, zagazunt.